This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back here with another edition of Phillies Today. As we sit in mid-October, the Phils, unfortunately, in full offseason mode here. Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson speaking to the media earlier this week at their end-of-season pressers. And frankly, cannot say I am thrilled with how those went down this week. What was said by Dave Dombrowski specifically, and we did find out that Rob Thompson is extended another year, which if you've heard me talk, I am totally fine with. I think that Rob Thompson was far from the Phillies' biggest problems. But the entire coaching staff is back, which maybe I have a little more of a problem with. And I know a lot of people were speculating that maybe the Phillies are keeping Kevin Long just to kind of keep themselves in the Juan Soto sweepstakes with him being his hitting coach down in Washington for a number of years. And as I think that's a little far-fetched, but at the same time, I'm not sure that, you know, firing Kevin Long or obviously Caleb Cotham has been great, so he wouldn't have gone anywhere, but maybe firing some of the hitting coach and offensive specialists would have done something, but I'm not sure that is the issue at hand. So I think that, you know, I don't know if it was the right decision, but I know that probably a lot of teams in baseball be lining up for Kevin Long if they were to have fired him. And again, just far from their biggest issues, in my opinion. But the entire coaching staff will be back, as I said. Again, I'm fine with Topper coming back. I think that he's had his moments in the postseason over the last couple of years where you kind of speculate as to maybe a bullpen decision here and there, tinkering with the lineup, which he finally did this year. Maybe that was a wrong decision to sit Alec Boehm. Who knows? But again, I think the coaching staff is far from the issue at hand here, and I'm totally fine with Rob Thompson being back, and maybe less fine with Kevin Long and the rest of the hitting coaches. But again, we will see how that ends up panning out. But yeah, want to get into this press conference a bunch and talk about what I thought was kind of a disaster. And look, Dave Dombrowski, before I, you know, kind of bash him here a little bit, he's done a really good job with this club since he's taken over. He's brought in some very smart individuals into the building. I think he's found a great blend of analytics and old school baseball to kind of run this franchise by as its model. But and he's revamped the farm system as well, brought in Kyle Schwarber, who I think is one of the pillars on and off the field. A lot of people still talking extension with Kyle Schwarber. Would you or would you not extend, or would you or would you not extend him? I would absolutely give Kyle Schwarber an extension. I don't want him to leave this organization ever. I know he didn't have a great postseason this year. But yeah, he brought in Kyle Schwarber. He's made a couple of other moves that I think were kind of key. I think the Jose Alvarado trade, looking back still, was a pretty good deal, even though he did not perform as well as you would have hoped this year. But overall, it's been a pretty disappointing last 12 months or so for Dave Dombrowski, between, you know, the Whit Merrifield signing, the lackluster trade deadline, you know, a lot to be desired in terms of the front office, Sam Fold and Dave Dombrowski specifically. And then you have the press conference on Tuesday where he essentially neglects to acknowledge some of the issues that are going on with the chase rate, some, you know, individuals specifically, et cetera. So I want to discuss my thoughts on that as well. Plus, we'll get into some postseason talk. I've been still watching all these games. You know, me, I love baseball, so I'm going to watch these games regardless, even though it hurts makes me mad every time I turn on the Mets, Dodgers, or Yankees, Guardians series. So I wanted to discuss my thoughts on that as well. And I'm probably going to hold off for now on some of my free agency post or off-season free agency trade talk until the World Series is over. But I will say that I definitely have started to think about some of their options. And look, as much as I'd love for them to just fix everything in the lineup by signing Juan Soto to $600 million or whatever he's going to get, I don't think that's reality, unfortunately. So give me a couple weeks. Let me decompress. Let the season end. And we will see what happens with the rest of the postseason. And I will have plenty of free agent and trade thoughts for you for sure. But for now, let's start by talking about this press conference that, you know, I'll be frank, just made you feel a lot worse about this baseball team and where they're at following a really disappointing postseason loss. And it's pretty, I think, out of character for Dave Dombrowski to have a press conference like this, considering it seems like he always has a really good feel for what reality is or what is going on at this particular second. But it just felt like there was none of that here, and he did not make the fans feel any better about this postseason loss whatsoever. I wanted some emotion. I wanted him to, you know, get up there and say, look, it was a really disappointing result, and we are going to work to make it better. It is our job to get up or to, you know, get up this postseason or this offseason, excuse me, and to make this team a better ball club. And I don't think there was anything like that that he said on Tuesday. And I'm not talking about bashing any individuals, because I know, I'm well aware that as an executive, you can't show your hand and you need every advantage you can have going into an offseason. But that doesn't mean you have to make every weak excuse for every individual guy and for why the team overall got bounced in the first round. And I don't want to hear that it's just baseball anymore. I understand that it's baseball and it's very difficult to win in the postseason. And only one team can win a World Series at the end of the day. But the fact is, this team has followed essentially the Phillies, you know, late 2000s model, early 2010s model of taking a step down every year. And the only thing they don't have to show for it is the World Series in 08. And obviously we know 09, they lose the World Series. 2010, they lose in the CS. And 2011, they lose in the Division Series. So they're following that model, but without the World Series, which obviously is not great. And I think just at some point, there needs to be some accountability. And there needs to be a little bit of a sense of urgency to get things done, because the window is not closed. I don't think it's closed at all, especially given what they didn't do at the trade deadline this year. They pretty much kept all of their young prospects, which, you know, might keep the window open for longer. But at the same time, it's starting to close for some of these veteran guys and some of these guys who are in their prime or, you know, coming out of their prime now. A lot of them are in their low to mid 30s now. And, you know, for a baseball career, that's where it starts to kind of fall off for some individuals. So going to get into some specifics here in a second. But first, he announced that Rob Thompson, as I said, having his contract extended through 2026. Fine with me. I like Rob Thompson. Runs one of the best clubhouses in baseball. He's had a couple disappointing postseasons, sure. But I still believe he is by far not the biggest issue with this team. And I'm totally fine with him getting an extra year so he doesn't go into next season. On the last year of his contract, Rob mentioned that, you know, this is the last place for him. As we know, a couple years ago, he's contemplating retirement before he took over as the interim manager. So he said this is the last destination for him, and I guess he will end up taking it on a year-to-year basis. But it's good for him to have that insurance going into next year that, you know, you are signed for another year following. But Dave Dombrowski, the thing that probably annoyed me most was when the chase rate stuff gets brought up. And if you simply watch this team on a day-to-day basis, you know that one of the biggest flaws on the roster and the thing that has, you know, pretty much led to their elimination in the last 2 years has been chasing out of the zone and not seeing enough pitches and not working at bats. But Dave Dombrowski, you know, has the cojones to get up there and say that the Phillies only had the sixth worst chase rate in the postseason. And that, yeah, in fact, the Mets actually chased more than the Phillies did during that series. And it's like, really, dude, what are we doing here? You have eyes. You're a smart guy. You know the problem for this team is the chase rate and, you know, swinging the pitches out of the zone and getting themselves out. You know, they said it at the end of the season that that was their problem. And to bring that stuff up and then say, oh, well, if you look at the chase numbers, it's actually not that bad. It's just lying to everybody involved. And who knows if that's how they really feel. But, man, if they do, I think that's a serious problem. And the other thing about the approaches that really fired me up was when he and Rob Thompson said this as well, talked about the guys becoming, you know, gap to gap hitters and that becoming a more prevalent part of their approach. And I'm just thinking to myself that most of these guys, as I mentioned, are 30 years or older and are maybe in the prime or, you know, coming out of the prime of their careers, and you want them to start just changing their approach now? Like, I don't think that's just how it works. They've been hitting one way their entire lives, and I just don't know if they have the ability to just snap their fingers this offseason and say, well, I'm going to become a gap-to-gap hitter instead of a Nick Castellanos, going to become a gap-to-gap hitter instead of a 30-home run guy who, you know, strikes out at maybe a 20-some percent clip. I just don't think that's realistic. And to have that sudden transformation in the latter stages of their career, like I said, I think is just unrealistic. And it's why I'm a little concerned moving forward in regards to the approach of the offense, simply because I just find it very far-fetched that these guys are going to transform like that just because you tell them to. And, you know, even after they lost to the Mets in the NLDS, after Game 4, some of the post-game quotes, they asked them about their approach. And Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, a couple of the guys said, you know, this is who we are as hitters, and we're not going to change. We've gotten to the majors, you know, by doing this type of stuff, and we're not just going to change now because, you know, we lost the series. And I don't know. I just think that's these guys, it would be very difficult to believe that they're just going to magically change their approach in terms of, you know, being a gap-to-gap hitter instead of, you know, hitting for power. Some guys I do believe can do that. Like Bryson Stott should absolutely be a gap-to-gap hitter. And obviously he did not have the year he wanted to this year. And Alec Bohm could be in that category as well. But at the same time, I just think for all of them to be able to do that, I think it's pretty unrealistic. So the other thing that bothered me was mostly when he was talking about Trey Turner and specifically about the defense at shortstop, because I am in the camp of wanting to try Trey Turner out in the outfield because I think it's something that, you know, will happen after next year, or at least at some point over the course of this 11-year contract. So why not just see if it can work now? I also don't think, you know, it's a situation where you have to worry about the player being upset, because as much as relationships and comfortability matter, Trey Turner is here. There is nothing getting around the fact that Trey Turner is going to be here for 9 more seasons as he has left on his contract. And he has been a well below average shortstop for what has been the first 2 years of an 11-year deal. Like, not just below average, like a bad shortstop. And not only did Dombrowski pretty much commit to Trey being the shortstop for the future, but when Tim Kelly of Phillies Nation pressed him and credited Tim for doing so about his defensive metrics and how he's essentially a well below average, you know, shortstop in every major category, like runs, outs above average, defensive runs saved, etc. Dombrowski says that the metrics were similar to what they were before he came here when he was with the Dodgers, and that he works hard, he'll be fine. He's gone down in all those areas over the last 2 years. It's just not true. He was a -6 last year in outs above average. He was a -3 this year. Similar progression or digression with you know, the defensive run saved as well. So I don't know what they can argue there. And I just think that eventually you're going to have to ask him to make that transition. So why not just do it now? So you don't have to figure it out in a year or two when you have some of your better infield prospects coming up.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Including Aiden Miller, including Starlin Cabo, who's been a phenomenal shortstop. I think he's only 18 or 19 down in A-ball further down the line. And it's going to be, you know, I was pretty disappointed to hear that. And just the excuse making for a guy who's got a $300 million contract and has not lived up to that nearly as a Philly so far. So that was a couple of the things I was upset with. And again, I understand that they can't call out individual players because that, you know, inhibits you from potentially making a deal with teams if you, you know, talk down on a guy and you don't want to do that. And I understand that's being professional. And I understand that's part of, you know, front office talk and that's part of being an executive. But at the same time, I thought that it was a bit of a slap in the face to maybe the media, to some of the fans, to get up there and to just blatantly ignore some of the problems that we all saw in the postseason. You're allowed to say the Phillies chase too much. We all saw it. It's okay. You don't have to bring up that the Mets actually chase more than the Phillies, which, you know, the Mets, the amount of, you know, soft hit singles that they were able to hit and they were able to manufacture run on, it's why they're still playing. It's why they're in the NLCS right now. So, again, just very disappointed to hear. And it was so un-Dave Dombrowski-like because I feel like every time I hear Dave Dombrowski and every time he's spoken since becoming the president of baseball operations for the Phillies, it just feels like you feel better about the team after. And it was one of the first times where, and look, they talked for a long time, him and Rob Thompson. It was about an hour 15, hour and 20 minutes. I felt like for the first time, I didn't feel better about the Phillies as I did going into a Dave Dombrowski press conference. And, you know, for a city that's pretty down on its baseball team right now, I thought that was pretty disappointing to hear. So I could be wrong. They could be in for a crazy offseason. They might make a ton of moves. You mentioned a couple of different interesting things with Johan Rojas will be, you know, living down in Clearwater, and they're going to be doing a specific hitting program for him. Taijuan Walker looks like he's going to be back in camp, everybody. So, yeah, I know everyone is thrilled about that. He's going to be doing a nice heavy ball program in order to get his velocity back up. And I will say, though, that Dave Dombrowski did not promise that he will have a spot on the team next year and that he will have to make his way onto the starting staff and that he will have to prove it. So at least that's a plus. And he also did acknowledge that there needs to be more productivity in terms of offense from the outfield. And I think part of that, though, is potentially moving Trey out there. So wouldn't be shocked to see Marsh and Rojas both in trade discussions this offseason. And we'll see what ends up happening with Austin Hayes. I would think he would probably be non-tendered and not on the team next year. But when he was asked about the trade deadline, he said Estevez was pretty good for them. Like normal numbers like ERA and stuff like that were okay, but he got hit really hard. He said that the Austin Hayes move, he was just hurt the whole time. And when he was healthy, he was just really bad, frankly. And I just thought he ignored a lot of the problems that a lot of Phillies fans had on the front of their minds, and that it made people, you know, feel worse about the baseball team than they did going in. So those are my thoughts on the Dombrowski press conference. We will see how the offseason pans out and, you know, if this is an offseason where we finally see a number of changes made, because over the past couple, you know, there hasn't been many. It's essentially been the same team as the last 2 years besides Rhys Hoskins. And I think that the bullpen, believe it or not, was actually the best it was, or equipped the best that it's been going into a postseason this year, even though they had, I think, like a 13 ERA or something like that in the National League Division Series. But they're going to have improvements made. And I think there are going to be a number of guys who are shopped around. Alec Bohm, Brandon Marsh and Rojas, like I said, you know, maybe even Bryson Stott is a guy that maybe they get some feelers for. So we'll see there. And it was pretty disappointing and put me in kind of a bad mood on Tuesday, to be frank. And so that is my thoughts on the Dombrowski press conference. I did want to talk about the postseason a little bit because I've been watching the postseason. And you know what? Even though the Phillies are out of it, I still enjoy postseason baseball. Like, I can't lie. I've been locked in on all these games pretty much. And I got a bunch of buddies who are Mets fans who have been giving it to me pretty good. So I can't lie. I have become almost a de facto Dodger fan in this National League Championship Series, which the Dodgers took a 2-1 lead in last night. And what's so crazy, and it's not crazy, it's just what's almost infuriating to watch when you watch the Dodgers play the Mets right now, is the Dodgers have been incredibly patient at the plate. They've taken so many walks, and they faced Kodai Senga in Game 1, who the Phillies faced in Game 1 of the National League Division Series, and they were able to draw a ton of walks on Senga, and they were able to get traffic on him, and they ended up, you know, putting a big number on him just because of the patience of the at-bats that they were able to work. And that's why the Dodgers are two wins away and are on the brink of the World Series right now. And unless the Phillies can kind of develop that approach and do that type of thing in the postseason, I don't see a scenario next year where things get better. So that was pretty frustrating to watch. And I got to say, though, last night, Shohei Ohtani hit a home run where I think it scraped the moon. StatCast said it was 410 feet, but at the same time, according to Justin Vision, it was like 540 feet. It was just insane homer. And how about Kike Hernandez, man? He is, what a postseason performer. I feel like ever since the Red Sox, his early Dodger days, he's always done well in the postseason. Hit another big home run for them last night. And wow, what a concept. You can hit off Luis Severino. He's mortal. So, yeah, and tonight they will have Jose Quintana again, essentially Randy Johnson to the Phillies. They'll have him going up against Yamamoto. So that's going to be a good matchup. I'm really excited to watch that one tonight. Also Freddie Freeman playing hurt. Like, the Phillies have really no excuses. And they were the only team with the bye not to make it out of the division series, which, again, kind of eliminates the whole rest versus rust thing. And it's just, again, when all the other three teams do it, I don't think you can have any excuse to say that, you know, the bye hurt them. And you know what? They didn't make those excuses, and I didn't think they would, especially given what Atlanta did over the past few years and the amount of excuses that them, Brian Snicker specifically, made about the playoff format. And I just don't think that those excuses apply really at all. But what is one of the most infuriating things, and I guess this kind of ties back to Dave Dombrowski and the front office here, is that a lot of these trade deadline acquisitions, guys that were brought in midseason for all four of these teams that are remaining, are contributing in a massive, massive way. The Guardians, although they're down 2-0 right now, and you know they're playing tonight once again, if Lane Thomas isn't traded to them, they're not in the ALCS right now. He hit that massive grand slam off Tarek Skubal in Game 5 of the ALDS, and Lane Thomas was the guy you absolutely could have had at the trade deadline. He would have been starting for you. So, and he's hitting third, I think, for the Guardians. So, yeah, Lane Thomas, the guy you could have had. Jazz Chisholm has really added some depth to the Yankees lineup. Admittedly, I wasn't a Jazz Chisholm guy going into the deadline, but he's really brought good energy for them and has helped the depth of the lineup as well. And you know what? He's a guy who, unlike some people, was willing to move off of his natural position. And he's playing third base right now, and he's contributing in a massive way for the Yankees. And they look like they're going to go to the World Series potentially, and he's been a big part of it. So Jazz Chisholm was a great acquisition for them at the trade deadline. And even the Dodgers, too. Like, they made some very small minor moves that have really, you know, reinforced them and helped a lot. Tommy Edman has played a really good second base for them and has come up with some clutch hits as well. Michael Kopech has been shut down for them in the bullpen. He has been really good. And, you know, anybody who can throw 99 to 100, if you get them with the right pitching coach and the right staff, you can utilize them in a way as to where they can really benefit you. And that's what Kopech has done as well. So, again, a lot of trade deadline acquisitions have been contributing in the postseason, and the Phillies really hadn't. And Carlos Estevez obviously gives up the grand slam to Lindor. Austin Hayes, I understand he had the kidney infection, and that obviously was not his fault. But at the same time, just did not get enough production out of those trade deadline acquisitions. So, and I will say, I mentioned earlier that I just can't stand the Mets, and that I have a lot of friends who are Mets fans, and obviously they have been, you know, texting me frequently lately about the Mets. I've decided, because I'm the biggest betting mush, that I have been betting on the Mets every night in the NLCS so far, and they're down 2-1, so I'm going to continue to do it. I'm going to bet on them once again tonight. And yeah, it is frustrating right now to watch the Mets. And because they're doing a lot of the things that you really would like the Phillies to do if they're going to get back to where they did in 2022. And that's work good at bats and be able to, you know, put the ball in play and make things happen. And the Dodgers have also done a great job of combating that, because they have been phenomenal in terms of their pitching staff. Ever since the last couple games of the San Diego series, they have just been really shut down. And aside from Landon Knack, who is one of their younger guys and had to start a bullpen game for them, they've essentially given up nothing to both the Padres and the Mets, two of the hottest offenses in the sport. So would the Phillies have gotten past the Dodgers? I don't know. But the Dodgers are a banged up team, and they had the bye, and they are not making any excuses for themselves. So the Dodgers, if they end up moving on and getting past the Mets and going to the World Series, they absolutely deserve it. And they have really, you know, kind of proven some doubters wrong in terms of the postseason, because ever since the COVID year, they've essentially choked away as, you know, number one seeds, winning 100 plus games every year. So for them to be able to get to the World Series and potentially win it would be, you know, good for them. And I think everyone honestly wants to see at this point a Yankees Dodgers World Series. Ohtani versus Judge, that would just be, you know, I feel like MLB's dream in terms of a matchup there. LA versus New York, and I think it'd be great theater, and I really, again, do not want the Mets to win. I don't want a Subway Series. New York has already done enough to Philadelphia. The Knicks beat the Sixers. The Mets beat the Phillies. And this weekend, I'm going up to New York for the Eagles-Giants game. And if the Giants win, just pack it up. They might own us if the Giants end up beating the Eagles there. So, and hey, with the way the Eagles are playing, you don't know right now. That actually might end up happening. But yeah, again, I've just had enough of New York. But give me a Dodgers Yankees World Series. I think that would be incredibly entertaining. You have superstars on both sides, and I think it's probably the best two teams remaining here in the dance. So with that, that is going to put a wrap on Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the pod. And like I said, once this World Series and once the postseason wraps up, I'm really going to get into kind of what I'm thinking this offseason in terms of free agency, in terms of trades, in terms of who I want to stay, who I want to go. It's still all just pretty fresh, and it just feels like, depending on what happens this postseason, especially, you know, with Juan Soto and some other guys there, it's going to, you know, depend on how they finish as well. So want to wait off for that, but I will get it to you, I promise. So thank you, as always, for listening. For Phillies Today and Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a good one, everybody. See you.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.